Blog Talk Radio.
Nothing can stop me, I'm all the way up.
Good evening to you, Miss Get Up. How you doing?
I'm doing great. So today's topic for the show is all the way up, being a positive influence. Yes, being a positive influence on our young black males, our adolescents, our teenagers, and our young adults in the black community. So, I'm sorry, I do have a cold. I apologize. So, being a positive influence in society today is a challenge. And being able to grow up in today's society is also a challenge.
Right.
So, statistics actually show study from UCLA in 2014 that was posted in the American Psychological Journal that young white women that were in college at UCLA at the time of this study in 2014 viewed children of all ages as innocent up until age 9. However, age 10 going forward, those same women viewed young African-American boys as a fear factor.
Wow.
From one age to another, they began being fearful of these little boys. And I just felt that that was really interesting. I was really amazed by that information. I don't see, personally, how from 9 to 10, your views can change so drastically. What are your views on that, Ms. Barnett?
Yeah, that's very interesting that, you know, you would say that. I'm still pondering that. I think you need to give us that one more time. Like, what does the statistics show already?
The statistics show already, a study from 2014 shows that college students at UCLA found those women, college students at UCLA in 2014, viewed all children as innocent up until age 9. However, after age 10, young black boys, they viewed them as they were fearful of them, basically.
Right, right. And I just wanted, if we have listeners, if you have a comment, please call in at 516-595-8311. I just really wanted you to reiterate that for our listeners or rephrase that or just, you know, present that one more time. Because it's amazing that these women are fearful of young black men, but you're not fearful of young white men at the age of 10. And 10 below, you're considered innocent. 9 and below, you're considered innocent. When I see 10-year-olds, I consider them still innocent. I mean, they're grasping things that they're learning from their home and their family, their community, their church, and their school, which is up in them, and it is the structure and the responsibility of parents, school, and church, and I say community, to make sure that they are grasping the right things to help structure them. But for you just to say, you know, for statistics just to pick out that at age 10, white women are fearful or of young black men, is it just shows the kind of crazy, twisted society that we're in and that we have been in for thousands of years and that we continue to be in, you know, because sometimes, you know, especially black people who have launched their major careers and up in a higher tax bracket, they begin to think they've arrived. And then you have white people saying, because we are a part of this and we are a part of that now, you know, we're supposed to be excited because, you know, we've arrived, so to speak. No, because you still do not put us in the category as equal as human beings. And so I have a problem with that. And we have to, Ms. Getta, we really have to work toward changing the statistical views and just the outlook of America toward the young black male.
Absolutely. And what was also stated was the exact words were, they view them as significantly less innocent at age 10 and began being fearful. At age 10. And what you brought up was, you know, we're not viewed the same. I went to a work Christmas party a few years back, and at that party, I brought the person I was dating at the time. And I was at the party with my coworkers, and they were looking at me like I was crazy because the person I brought, they looked fearful of him. The person I brought had locks, you know, dreadlocks, and he was a big guy. And they were just looking at me crazy. And then all of a sudden, when he said he was a school teacher, everybody's perspective changed. They were looking at him like he's just some random guy, like, what is he, a thug or something like that? And he's a school teacher. And I was just floored by that. I can't believe my coworkers that I sat there and laughed and talked with every day at work felt like that. It was just amazing to me.
And you know what, Ms. Get Up? See, that's where black people miss it, just like you said. You could not believe that your coworkers was acting that way. Why not? See, a major percent of black America have missed is when you start mingling with them, they perform the way they want you to think they are in your presence, still are who they are. And I'm not saying all white America, but those who are, those who were fearful, those who did look at him a certain way, this is who they are. And we have to stop thinking because they laugh with us at work and drink coffee and tea with us at work that they still accept us as human beings. We have to put them through the test of time as we're getting to know them, just like as we're getting to know a black person. We have time tells everything. And so you can't assume just because somebody acts nice or they present themselves nice over a couple of months that, oh, they're really nice. They, you know, they're not prejudiced because they talk to me. They sit and have lunch with me. Yeah, half of the time is all you're doing is talking to them at work. Many of us haven't been invited in their homes. And then sometimes they do, but you have to be a certain type of person. And so because my hair is different, because my skin color is different, because our neighborhood makes me less than you, you got to be kidding me. And because then they took in after they found out, now you're a school teacher, now you're acceptable. No, you didn't accept me before you knew my profession, don't accept me now, because really that's just a facade anyway. You're accepting me right now to be able to carry on some dialect with me. But at the end of the day, when they left there, I guarantee you they were like, oh, my God, I can't believe she's with that black guy with all those dreads and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely.
Believe you that. Because if you look at my outward appearance and judge me, then you're judging me to the core, regardless of what my profession is. And black America, we have to change that for our own selves, for our children and our grandchildren. We have to take a stand to stop saying we have to dress and look a certain way to fit in. Well, you know what? If you don't let me in through the door, I'm coming in through the window. But I'm coming in, and I'm coming in with my dreadlocks and with my tattoos, and I'm coming in with my speech, with a dialect, that with a slang. I'm coming in with all of that because none of that depicts who I am. I'm still educated. I hold degrees, and it doesn't make you better than me. And it takes us to change that. And, you know, and if you won't let me in, guess what? I'll start my own business. And that's what we have to do. We have to come together because they are hindering our young black men of tomorrow. And so while we're going to leave them helpless, we can't, Ms. Getta. We cannot.
You're absolutely right, Ms. Worth It. It was a real eye-opening experience for me. I will never forget that night at that Christmas party in 2009. I won't forget it. It was a real eye-opener.
Yeah. I'm sure
so,
it was. And
what were you going to say, Ms. Worth It?
No, I said I'm sure it was. And we and I hope that our listeners heard that, and that they become aware of what type of society we're listening in. We're too easy to let people in because they smile and shake our hands and think that we fit in. And, you know, it became an eye-opener for America, black America and white America, when Donald Trump, I called the man out of his name so bad, just not wanting to say his name, but when Donald Trump became the next president of the United States, it really shocked America, and his behavior and his performance now, you know, that is not an example for the young black man. That's not an example for my grandson. That's not an example for, you know, my friends' children, sons. It is a disgrace. And we have to start set, and it's good. You know, I'm not glad he's in, but this is a good example because we have too many times looked on TV and start telling our kids who they need to be like. So this eye-opener to America, are you telling your kids they need to be the next Donald Trump? You have to be ignorant and insane. We have to walk up boldly and with confidence. And we have to teach our young men that with your dreadlocks, your afro, your natural hair, and even our young women to walk up with your shoulders up and boldly stand and walk in neighborhoods and in your community and in stores and in front of all people, letting them know that you are somebody. Not because of the color of your skin, but because God created you just like he created them.
Absolutely, Ms. Larkett. And, you know, still to this day, in 2017, you know, we are still viewed, and mostly our young men, our boys, are viewed negatively by white society. We would think that over the last 200 years, things would have changed. However, they're just a different circumstance than they were 200 years ago. It's the exact same thing. And, you know, our young men, our boys, they have so much to deal with just trying to grow up, and then you put these negative connotations on them. It's hard. And I feel like some of the things, without having those positive influences in the community of your parents, your neighbors, your family, your friends, the people at church, your teachers, your coaches. Without having that, they can go down the wrong path of being in a gang or committing crime. I mean, it's just sad when they don't have anyone. And, I mean, there's one young man who I've known for several years, he just went down the wrong path. And people tried to help, but I guess, you know, those people, myself included, we didn't do a good job. And now he's doing 24 years in prison as of the sentence was a few weeks ago. 24 years in prison.
Oh, my.
For being with the wrong people and making bad choices.
Yeah. And the sad thing is, Get Up, is that the sad thing is, yes, he made a bad choice. And, you know, it has to be, you know, there's consequences behind our bad choices, must I say. But here's the thing. The consequences behind the bad choice of the bad choice of the black male compared to the bad choice of the white male is totally different. The consequences are harder, you know, much crueler for the black male than they are for the white male. And that's the issue that we're running into. We're not being, you know, we're not being dealt with the same way. We're not being judged the same way. We're not being, you know, our consequences are not the same for all people. They're not the same for all people. And so that's another thing that we have to, as Americans, black Americans, we have to make sure that that we get into these legislatures and we get into these law offices and get with Congress and we have to make sure that the law stands the same for all people. And we also have to make sure that these public defenders are, you know, that they're doing their job to help to be there to support in the justice system, not be there to make a black man, not even figuring out if he's really guilty, looking at the evidence, and saying no, we're not going to take a plea, but they're quick to tell a black person to take a plea, and you'll only get, you know, God knows how many years, but you'll work harder. Mm-hmm. You know, for the white man, well, you know, and most of the time they're not going to get a public defender because they have the money. And I feel that
Absolutely.
The public defender, you know, need to, their duty is to serve you to make sure that you get the best counsel ever. And so they need to make sure that happens. And we as black America, we have to deal with that.
Absolutely.
We really do.
And the young man I'm talking about, he did take a plea, and the plea was for 24 years.
Wow. Isn't that something? And Jesus Christ, am I? Yeah, that's a lot. It's a lot.
So also, you know, one of the other things that plagues our young black boys and our youth is that they are more likely to be suspended or expelled from school than their white peers. Why do you think that is, Ms. Worth? And my opinion on that is that we have these stereotypes already. And I'm saying we because I've had stereotypes. I've assumed things about someone, people, without knowing them, just assuming. So I put myself into that category. It's something I try not to do anymore, but I've done it in the past. You know, assuming
what?
That, oh, he did it. Oh, he's ghetto. He's hood. He doesn't, you know, have anybody. He, you know, just, it's like no one cares.
And
nobody cares about them.
And the thing is, we have to stop allowing these names to be put on us. You know, oh, because you live in a certain area that, you know, the homes are not, you know, $300,000 homes or $1 million homes, and you wear, you know, your jeans sagging, you're a thug. How the hell you going to call me a thug because of an outer wearing, you know, outer appearance? You going to call me a thug or because I live in a certain neighborhood, I come to be, you know, I'm a thug. You know, God bless his soul, my son, Zayas Keen Barnett, who we will be definitely celebrating his birthday on tomorrow, February 12th. He would have been 34 years old had his life not been taken by two low-down, dirty, sorry Atlanta police, unjustly and excessive force, and then the media and the law enforcement want to say he was a thug till I get on the news and let their dumbasses, judgmental asses, excuse me, know that, no, just because he's tatted up, just because he, and he didn't sag, by the way, but he's tatted up, he's a black man, and he's tatted up, he's not a thug. He's a college-educated man with a degree. Served in the war of Iraq. Worked for a general. You know, was going to law school. Highly intelligent. Able to pull people and draw them and lead young men in the right direction. And just because, and first of all, and he didn't live in the hood. He lived in a upscale neighborhood or community of Atlanta. He never lived in the project. He never lived on low income. Not that that discredit, that gives you credit to make these people as low. No, it's not. Because money doesn't determine your character and the better person that you are. And so we have to stop them. But when I put out who my son was, guess what? We ain't hear no more about him. And that's who we have to stop them. Exactly. We have to stop them from pointing the finger, talking about, oh, he, you could tell he ain't nothing but a thug. He ain't nothing but trouble. Because guess what? Every white man wearing a suit could be trouble. They're trouble in the White House right now. You got $1 million up there, ignorant and, oh, Lord, anyway, ignorant in the White House. You have these big-time corporate American leaders, first of all, committing adultery, committing fraud, committing embezzling money, doing all kind of dirt, high-collar crime, but you don't call him a thug. You a thug, too, and so we have to be able to call them out. You a thug, too, drug dealer on a high level because your skin is white. You a thug, too. And when they call us niggas, we don't need to fight. We need to turn around and say, you a nigga. Because the nigga is not because of the color of your skin. Ignorant. So we as a black people have to take back our identity. And we have to take it back now. We can't let it go on anymore. You will not identify me as a thug. You will not identify me as nothing because of the color of my skin or because the neighborhood I come from. I am someone. I'm a woman of worth. I'm a woman of value and character. I'm intelligent. All three of my children are college graduates, black college graduates. It doesn't make them a thug, you know? So we have to change that, Ms. Worth. Ms. Getup, I'm sorry. We really have to stand up for who we are and not allow ourselves to be talked down to or judged. And, you know, this guy, it's saddening that he took a plea for 24 years. I mean, I don't know if he was guilty, how guilty he was or whatever, but we have to stop selling ourselves out, you know. And I know sometimes we're scared to get before a jury, but you know what? Hey, it is what it is, but prayer works, and we have to start praying for one another. And for our young kids getting suspended in school, we have to fight the battle. If Johnny Jones or Johnny Smith or Johnny whatever, LeBlow or whatever, if he doesn't get 5 days for fighting, you're not going to give Malcolm Smith 5 days for fighting. We got to mark around that school. We got to let them know it's not going down like that anymore. And that's the problem. Black America, if you're listening, we have to start standing up for what's right and standing up for our people. We cannot be worried about the Arabs and all of them. And, hey, I'm not discrediting and the Mexicans. Hey, if they're coming over here and they're going to better things, I'm good for it. I think it's horrible what Donald Trump is doing. But at the end of the day, we first got to take care of Black America because ain't no damn body else will. And that's real talk.
Absolutely, Ms. Worth It. You're absolutely right. We have to start from what it used to be, like when kids, you knew your neighbors and they looked out for your kids and they talked to them if they got in trouble and they prevented them from getting in trouble. Even, you know, when the drug dealers saw the young boys coming up, they encouraged them to stay in school because they didn't want to see them on that corner like they were. We have to get back to that.
We have
to be there for our kids.
Yep. Listeners, we only have about 4 or 5 minutes left in our show, but Ms. Getup, I mean, your topic is just on point. And we have to show them that we can come all the way up, and we got to turn all the way up. I really like this because we really do have to turn all the way up in honor of bringing our children all the way up. No, we don't have to fight. We don't have to get out here and kill one another, but we do. And like you said, we have to get back to a community of knowing one another before we can even talk to somebody's children. We need to know our neighbors. A young lady at my job just said this the other day. We just had the tornado hit parts of New Orleans East, and it was so sad. One of the guys, she was walking, and the gentleman said, "I'm going to come help you, you know, to look through your stuff." And normally she said she would have been scared, but this tornado didn't hit. She walked right along with him, no fear. And then another guy, they start talking to him, and he was like, "Yeah, I know you. You live right up there." She didn't even know the guy. They didn't know each other's name, but he see her. He was like, "Yeah, I see you. You know, y'all leave and just come on back home." That's ridiculous. But you know what? They looked out for her. And that's sad that we next door to people, we don't speak, you know. And, hey, I don't know my neighbor's name, but when I go outside, I'm like, "Hey, how y'all doing?" You know, I make sure I'm speaking to everybody. I'm looking, I see, and we start noticing, yeah, I'm running late for work, so they know, oh, she's going to work. You know, but we really got to start doing more. Like, "Hi, I'm so-and-so, you know, I have kids, and, you know, I'm single, don't have kids, so I'm out headed to work. By the time I'm coming in trying to get settled, and that's it for me." And then it's you know, and it's the fall. But we really have to do better. We have to come together as neighbors. We have to show ourselves neighborly. We have to be neighborly, and we have to look out for people's kids. And I know people say, and I know, Ms. Gibb, you got to do your closing, but I know people say, "Well, you can't tell kids nothing, they get smart." No, it's not just that. It's how you go about telling. You don't be three. No, you be like, "Hey, baby, watch yourself." And if they get smart, say, "You know, you didn't have to do that." And pay attention to where they live, and then go see their mama, and don't have an attitude. I was just telling them, be careful in the street, and, you know, this is what he said. But it's how we go after them. Sometimes we're adults and we're negative towards kids. You look bad ass. Oh, quick to call somebody child bad when your ass was bad.
Absolutely.
And your kid is probably bad. You know, so we
Absolutely.
Need to learn how to talk to young people.
Absolutely. We sure do. We need to start, you know, you're absolutely right, with speaking to people. You know, I always try to speak to my neighbors and everything. When I was still in Fayetteville, I used to speak to the neighbors down the street, and my daughter, the youngest, used to ride the bus with them. Somebody broke in my house. The little girl, stepdaddy, chased the man. He didn't even get to steal nothing because he saw him breaking in and ran up to him when he was trying to go in the window. Just because we was nice
exactly.
and talk to him, he was like, "Hey, I know you go to work in the morning, and, you know, your daughter gets the bus with my stepdaughter and everything. I've seen him. I know he ain't belong there." So he chased him. Stuff like
That's
that,
right.
looking out for each other, what we need to get back to.
Exactly. We
Go ahead, Ms. Worth It. Closing remarks.
Yeah, I was just saying we really do have to be in a community that stands together, you know, and supporting one another. And it's going to start with conversation. It's going to start with reaching out. It's just not going to miraculously happen by itself and, you know, and stop being judgmental. Like you said, we are quick to look at someone and judge. We can't do that. You know, no matter what they look like, we need to give them an opportunity because you don't know what the hell people been through. People may be looking crazy because they so much, you know. But, Ms. Getup, I really appreciate you letting me join in on this topic all the way up, identity and purpose for young men in the Black community. And, you know, I really appreciate it. And, listeners, you need to take this seriously. And, you know, turn all the way up for not just your family, but for the Black community as well. And when we can get us together, then we can look out for other people.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you joining me today. And, listeners, just remember, it just takes you reaching out to one person to make a difference in their life. And hopefully they'll do the same. Thank you for joining A to Zayas Blog Talk Radio once again. And we send a very happy birthday shout out and in loving memory of Ernest Zayas Joaquin Barnett, who would have been 34 years old on tomorrow, February 12th. Thank you, Ms. Worthy.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.